Thank you very much, Richard. Now, there are 15 minutes before we must finish. So anybody like, what I'd like to encourage are short contributions. There's one there, which is good. Try and make them as short as possible so we can get as many as we can in the next 12 minutes or so, either to comment on what's been said or what's gone on in the whole of the last 2 days. And if so, please, yes, and do say, I know
My name is Max Bond. I'm an architect in New York. I was quite impatient with the architects' discussion because both Peter Eisenman and Alejandro Zarapolo seemed to me to be so insular and so smug in their view of what the issues of the city are and what the issues of our society are. I think that one of the things that is really needed is a different way of thinking about the city. Most of the discussions today and yesterday have really been from a very bourgeois point of view of the city, people like us in this room, rather than thinking about all of the poor people who live in this city as well as in other cities. And there would be a totally different perspective if one began to see the city through the eyes of poor people, through immigrants, who are, in fact, the majority of people in the great growing cities of the world. And just a few examples. The discussion of community that was held earlier. People said, well, you know, we need to get beyond community. But community is absolutely essential for poor people. Poor people, because they are powerless, need to aggregate. They need to form organizations. They need to work together. Thus, they need community if they are going to seek to change things. So that the minute you say we're beyond community, fundamentally, you're taking a bourgeois point of view about the development of the city and one that ignores the basic needs of people. We heard some very nice presentations about changes to the city, but think again about zoning, inclusionary zoning, increasing the zoning from 4 to 4.7 to allow poor people to live there. But then what about the jobs that they need so that they can make their lives secure? The plans didn't talk about the jobs, replacing the jobs that are being lost in Greenpoint or that have been lost. How do you make it convenient for people to live there, to work there, to get good health care? What about the issues of immigrants in this city and their health care and their access to health care, to language, to good jobs? So that I think if you shift the perspective and think of the city from other people's point of view, one would get a very different sense of what is important and what we should be talking about.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like to, at the back there, I'm going to try and choose people who've spoken least in some kind of vaguely democratic way, and then one here, yes? So, man there, woman here. Have we got a microphone to get to the back here? Oh, you've got your own microphone.
Is that me?
Yes, yeah. That's you first.
My name is George Hykalis. I want to touch on the point about regionalism and region versus the city, or the region and the city, and just make a couple of quick points. One is that I think the city can be a point of leadership for a regional approach, can be a bully pulpit for the region, whether there's a formal governmental mechanism or an informal one or the like. The other point on regionalism, I think, is we can learn from others, we should learn from others, particularly, and I'll take our regional connective transit system, which is our commuter rail system, which really should be amalgamated into a single metropolitan rail system that flows smoothly through New York as well as to New York. And finally, I think we can learn a lot from what Professor Knoflacher had said before, and that is about reducing our car dependence in the city by taking very careful not just the congestion pricing, but reducing parking, making public transit work better, and making this a really clean, livable city without so many cars.
Okay, thank you. Down here, and then, yes.
My name is Roz Paswell, and I'm what you've been calling a practitioner. I know I do economic development, finance, and affordable housing. And my interest is usually more on that side of things, and not so much on the issue of design and its role in what we've been talking about. But I want to ask a question, and it's going to seem very particular, but I think thinking that the answer to this might break open the puzzle of the role of design in all of the social issues we've been talking about. It was Rem Koolhaas's comment that he's frustrated and disappointed that he cannot, or he's prevented somehow from doing neighborhood work and social housing. And I was my question is, why is that, and is the answer to that going to give us some insight on where architecture and design stands in all the issues we've been talking about, outside the more rarefied issues of manifesto and theory? Why is it that's the case? Is it the case, and why is it?
Big question for now. I mean, do you want to say something? As that was a chat, I mean, directly pointed at you.
It's simply a little truth that the architect is dependent on being asked to do things, and we will never be asked and have never been asked in recent memory.
I bet there are people here who would ask you.
Okay. All right.
Is that an invitation to be asked?
Stop. Let's leave that one and move to the... let's move on, get as many as we can. One there and then one at the back here. Yep.
Yes, my name is Jonathan Rose, and today, during this conference, I was surprised to notice what I thought was an enormous gulf between the theoreticians and the practitioners. And I think as you move forward, you need to decide, is this to come up with a new theory for cities, or is this to come up with a new practice for cities, and then focus your conference on one? Because I'm not sure that I'm not sure that I see a viable connection between the two.
Yeah, I'm going to ask, it seems to me it's an absolutely essential question, and one that the organizers ought to address, though my hunch is, and I'm going to ask Ricky just to contribute, that in a sense that apparent non-alignment is going to be the purpose of the event. But let me have a go. Rick, do you want to say something, Ricky?
Are you ready? Well, I think we all felt in the last 2 days that some tension, frustration when people didn't understand what they were saying. I mean, Bob already has talked about the need for simultaneous translation. I think the whole point of us, let's remember one of the things at the beginning of this project is that there is a group of people, many of whom are in this room, who will be moving around and reflecting on exactly the discussions and discourses and the non-alignments that we've actually seen here, if only to take those forward and draw some conclusions from that. So in that sense, Tony, if you're provoking me to say, are there holes, are there lacunae in the debate? Yes. We haven't talked at all about sustainability, I think. Are there languages which don't talk to each other but are dealing with the same subject? Yes. How do we take that forward? It's exactly the point of this project.
Jonathan, very quickly, I appreciate the comment. But let's think about theory not as technocratic models, but as ways of seeing. But to see very complex configurations, you need to build some scaffoldings, you know, some apparatuses. And that's really what I am getting at.
Okay, and down the back there, yes?
Bob Beauregard from the New School. I want to echo Max Bond's comment in a different kind of way, and also respond to Ricky Burdett's comment just now. I'm not sure, after the last 2 days, that we are in an urban age. And I'm somewhat skeptical of even using the phrase, because I think it might hide more than it reveals. But if we were to believe that there is an urban age, I wonder if it really means studying New York, London, Sao Paulo, Shanghai. If there's an urban age, it would seem that it would have to be much more inclusive than simply studying those cities. The parallel would be trying to understand architecture by studying the work of Zaha Hadid, Renzo Piano, and Peter Eisenman, and think that you actually understand architecture after you've done that. We have to look at other kinds of cities, and we have to bring them in, not simply as the other. Well, they're not like New York, they're not like London, maybe they should be, but we have to bring them in as real subjects in thinking about what it means to be urban.
Okay, to be fair, I'm I doubt anybody was expecting them to be like New York or like London. I think that's part of this very final session, and indeed as the conference moves on, is trying to work out what is transferable, not that some things definitely are. Now, there's one down the back. Yes.
I'm Carolyn Kahn. I'm from Community Consulting Services. And I just wanted to say we sort of expected from a program hosted by the London School of Economics that there would be more of an economic component to this whole discussion instead of such a design component, whether it's Max Bond's point of view or congestion pricing or looking at the true social costs of congestion and everything else. There, that economic component is missing. And when we did the World City study, what I realized after that was the real question is follow the money. And we haven't followed the money in a lot of these decision-making and the outcomes. So I think we have to follow the money. The second thing I want to ask is, can we get email contacts for the people who are participating in this program?
I'm sure that it'll be possible. I mean, talk to Ricky at the end. Now, I'm going to take one more here.
Stuart Rasker, an architect, real estate developer who's worked with Max Bond, has worked with Richard Rogers, and it's a big development. There's a lot of affordable housing here in New York, and also a big development. I just want to go back. What Carolyn said about economics and what Dan Rose said about also the economics of the city. What's really not been addressed here, why Rent School House has not really done affordable housing, is dealing with the world famous architects and celebrity architects. Even as a developer building good housing, it is very hard to bring quality design, forget about even celebrity architecture, to the urban fabric here, and not just on grand towers or Hearst or for Sony or for other world famous clients. So I would hope that some of this would come together, the economics, the finance of the city, with great architecture, and really encourage some of the world's greatest architects to really look at some of the urban problems that architecture, because I disagree with Peter Eisen, I think that architecture is an integral part of the city fabric, and there is a way of bringing good design for all city quality.
A good place to draw this to a close. Now, it says conclusions, and I promise you I'm not now going to take up the last 3 minutes by trying to conclude the whole of the last 2 days. However, I just want to say two or three things, partly because we need to mark the end of two extraordinary days. First thing I'd like to say is it's clear the city remains interesting. Oddly enough, conversation hasn't flagged in this city. And despite the apparently unwieldy mixture of practitioners, architects, and academics, theoreticians and practitioners, they may not have agreed on a number of things, but the extent to which they can engage at some level on the question of the city, on urban life, is undoubted. Governance is clearly more important than ever, as indeed is social science. The management of complexity in places where rights, knowledge, and education now rightly have been allowed to give a voice to neighborhoods and individuals means that the task of governing cities is more complex than ever before. Citywide interests conflict with the most local of interests, and it clearly takes the legitimacy of city leaders to bring about change, because without the legitimacy brought by the ballot box, very little can change. And listening to what's gone on with Bogota's cycleways, Washington's renaissance, New York's control of its education system, or London's congestion charge, that message comes through. Social science, similarly. There's been a galaxy of researchers, I thought long and hard about that word, galaxy of researchers, analysts, and thinkers in this room, and they've undoubtedly, not just here but more generally, helped to shape understanding and provoked debate, an important role. They don't agree, and clearly they never should. There'd be no point of having intellectuals if they did agree, and therefore it's good that they don't. And I mustn't leave out the practitioners who I have politely sat around while their world is ripped apart around them by people who clearly couldn't run the same things. And it is extraordinary that they do so in such a benign and kindly way. A number of things haven't been mentioned, although since I wrote myself this note, one of them has. The role of developers in city, I'm surprised, has come up surprisingly little, given the way they do often drive cities forward. It's interesting to go to a conference where developers didn't feature as much as they sometimes can. At the other end of some kind of spectrum, the role of minorities have been, I can see the point that in a sense have been treated quite a lot as an object rather than having a voice directly, though it is difficult in a forum of this kind to give voice to such individuals. Lower Manhattan was mentioned, as Carl has subsequently said, rather less than would have been true at a conference in this city until very, very recently. And given the symbolic importance of that place to this city and indeed of what happened in that place, that is intriguing. And of course, other great world cities, Paris, Moscow, and Tokyo, haven't been mentioned as much as they should, many of them, though de Tocqueville and Voltaire both got mentioned, so France and indeed Tolstoy for Moscow. So at least culturally they've been with us. As the conference moves on, it will massively benefit from New York's collective contribution. In that sense, this was as good a place, possibly the best, to start this series of conferences. If the conference can make it here, it'll make it anywhere, I suppose. And there's been a willingness to argue constructively, and the great thing about coming to New York for an outsider is to listen to the way New Yorkers will take lumps out of each other so politely and continue to come to the next event to do it again. Beyond thanking the city, and I know it's Oscars weekend, or it's about to be, so I don't want to spend 20 minutes in tears thanking everybody, though I have got to thank a few people. I really must thank a few people. All the contributors, especially the city leaders from Washington, D.C., and Bogota, and indeed New York City's senior officials. I don't want to put them too much on a pedestal, but they are crucial practitioners in a conference of this kind. The team who put the Urban Age first conference together, a very long list of individuals, and I just want to name a few of them. Philip Roeder, Bruno Moser, Sarah Ishioka, Alessandra DiGiusto, Christina Gerg, and many others. There are a number of institutions that have helped the event, financially and otherwise. The Rockefeller Foundation, the Brookings Institution, Minerva LSE Research Group, the Museum of Modern Art, and Harlem Studio Museum, the Neue Gallery, and in particular, the Alfred Herrhausen Society, Deutsche Bank, and Wolfgang Novak. I should also thank my colleagues Richard Sennett and Ricky Burdett as the leading organizers and intellectual creators of the Urban Age. But more than anybody else, you, the participants in the event over the last 2 days. The Urban Age now moves on to Shanghai, London, Johannesburg, Mexico City, and Berlin. And I hope that we will all see many of you there and see each other there too. Apart from saying thank you and goodbye, Richard is whispering in my ear, remember there is a reception this evening at the Museum of Modern Art from 6 to 7:30, to which everybody is cordially invited. So we must thank the Museum of Modern Art as well. Thank you.